lot of you know, over the last few months, Kelly hasn't been in here too often on Sundays, and she's been going through a lot of medical issues. And over a 7-week period, she was in the ER 5 of those weeks, at least for overnight, if not longer. And during those times in there, she experienced a lot of being with the Lord and Him talking with her and explaining a lot of things to her as she asked many things from Him. And she's going to give that testimony in a moment, but she wanted me to come up first and just kind of give a prelude to things, how things kind of got in the way they were, because she doesn't remember a lot of what happened before she would get into the hospital. So the first three times, it was three Fridays in a row, she was going in because she had some serious infections, sinus infections, UTIs. Turns out there was also pneumonia that they never detected. And they'd treat her overnight. They'd send her home the next day. You should be fine. The next week, we were back in again. And so that happened the first three times. Then on a Saturday, they sent her home in the morning. The next Sunday, she didn't feel that she was up to coming in. So I was in here at church that Sunday morning. On the way home, I called her to see if she wanted me to pick up some lunch for her as I was going through Paddock Lake. And she didn't answer her phone, which didn't surprise me. I figured she was in the bathroom or she just couldn't catch it. And so I was just going to stop and get something on the way home. And as I was going through Paddock Lake and getting ready to turn into the restaurant to order something up to bring home, the Lord was telling me, don't stop. Just go home. You can come back. Just go home first. You can come back into town to get something to eat. So I just drove through, went home. When I walked in, I called her. She didn't answer. Walked into the living room, and I saw her just sprawled out on the couch. I tried to wake her up. I couldn't wake her up. And she has an oxygen issue. So the first thing I did was checked her oxygen level. She was down to about 72 for oxygen level, which I know is a critical level. And so she had her cannula on, but she was just laying back. Her mouth was open. She wasn't breathing through her nose. So I grabbed a mask and switched it out for the cannula so it would cover her mouth. Then I ran into the other room, turned her concentrator up to the maximum, which I think is 5. Normally, she's on 2 liters. Came back in, checked her oxygen again. It was down to 64. And as fast as that was in a 2-minute period, it dropped from 72 to 64. And I knew I was out of options. There's nothing I can do. And I called 911, got the rescue squads on their way, and just sat down and prayed that they would get here in time. And I just felt a helplessness that I've never felt before. It's when you're in the hospital and somebody's there because she's been in before, and you're standing there and she's all hooked up to all the tubes and intubation and stuff, you feel helpless there, but there's other people doing stuff, taking care of things. You don't feel that it's all on you. But this was something totally different. And when the rescue squad people came, the house was filled with people in about 5 minutes, and asking information and stuff. And then about as fast as they came in, they were gone with her. And as soon as they went out the door, I just fell back in my chair and just trying to comprehend what had just happened. And then just start praying that, God, let me get there and at least say goodbye to her, if nothing else. So I got in the car, drove down there. By the time I got into the ER, they let me in right away. They had her intubated. They had everything hanging off her, all the tubes in her arms and stuff that they always end up doing. But this time she was intubated, which none of the other times that had happened. And they got her back up again. Her oxygen was coming back up, but they kept her sedated for several days while she was intubated. They didn't want her waking up. And so that was kind of a rough stretch there too. But eventually she woke up. They took the sedation down so that her eyes would open and she couldn't talk with the intubation still on her, but at least she was back there again. I could look in her eyes. I could see her responding and stuff. And eventually checked, one of the doctors checked one of the x-rays, and he said something didn't look right on it, so he had a CT scan done. And when that came back, he found out that she had a liter of fluid around her right lung. And her left lung is working at about half capacity anyway due to things from way in her past. But her right lung was her good lung. And it turned out that liter of fluid collapsed her lung. All she had left was what was left of the left lung. So they ended up draining out a liter of fluid from around her lung. And that got things on a lot better position at that point. And then eventually she got good enough to where they sent us home again. And then, was it the following three, no, the next week later, I was home on Friday night and got home about 3 o'clock and asked her how she was doing. She said, well, I'm not so good. I'm getting exhausted. I can't walk across the room without just about having to pass out. And I said, well, do you want to go back into the ER? No, I don't want to go back to the hospital. Okay, let me know if you decide you can go to the hospital. This went on for hours. Just kept asking her, no, I don't want to go back to the hospital. And finally at 11 o'clock at night, she says, I think I need to go back to the hospital. So I put her in the car, we drove into the hospital, brought her into the ER. There was nobody there at the desk when we walked in. So we're just kind of waiting around for somebody to show up to admit us in there. And we checked her oxygen at that time. And it was at 54%. And the nurse finally came in at the desk there and to check us in. And I said, we need to get in right away. And she's like, okay, let me just get you checked in. I said, well, we got to do something quick. Her oxygen level's down at 54. And Kelly put her hand up with the monitor on it. And she said, no, that's her heart rate is 54. Her oxygen's at 86. I said, no, her heart rate's 86. Her oxygen's 54. She looked again, and she jumped up, ran around, opened up the double door, says, get her in here right away. So I pushed her in, and before we could even get to the triage room, more doctors and nurses were coming, grabbed her from me, and put her in one of the rooms right away. And by the time I walked into that room, they had her all hooked up with all the stuff again. They didn't intubate her, but they couldn't get her oxygen to come back up. They had her on 15 liters of oxygen, and it was still dropping. And so then they came up with some other, like a monster cannula thing with a big hose that comes up, but still went in the nose. They put that on and that stopped it from going down and eventually got it back up. And then they found out she had another liter of fluid in her lung. So her right lung was collapsed again. All she had was her left one. And so they drained that again. And eventually that week, they also drained it another time and got another liter out. So 3 liters of fluid out. And on the x-rays, they noticed that there was showing that there was still some pneumonia in her left lung. I think, I don't know, one of them showed that there was still a trace of pneumonia that they looked back and they could see it on the previous x-rays that they just didn't catch and they never got that out. And so it turned out that it was just a lot of infections on top of each other, 3 different infections at one time. They never got all of them out. And we'd send her home before it was all cleaned up. So this last time that we were in there, they kept her in and made sure that everything got caught up. And at that point, I can give it to Kelly because she wants to tell you her side of what was going on while she was in there. So, thank you.
Well, now I learned a lot of things because I was really out of it, to be honest with you. But I want to open with prayer here. I feel like a heavy velvet robe was just dropped on me. And I can feel the Holy fire on me since I walked in here, but even more so right now. So bear with me. I call this count it all joy. I was so sick that I don't remember a lot of this stuff. They had me intubated and I couldn't talk. So I had to communicate with my hands, which isn't hard to do. But when I woke up from that at one moment, I saw Don wiping the tears away from his eyes. And to me, that was so beautiful. The Lord wanted me to mention that because he said men don't like to cry in public. And he said that you should never be ashamed to cry. Even though I hate it, I hate doing that. But the Lord said, that's when you give complete submission to him. Because you know, you whatever it is going on, you can't do anything. It's only God that's going to help you. As sick as I was in that hospital, and I was sick. I mean, they had to help me to the bathroom even. And the Lord allowed me to minister to people, which even amazed me. I was able to give some words from the Lord to people. And it's only God that enabled me to do that. Three of them in particular that I'm hoping will come here. They were looking for churches. And they had one had a daughter, and she said she was looking for a youth group for her daughter. So hopefully they start coming here, and we'll be gathering more with new people, new members. The Lord said to me, you know, I was so sick. I even said to Don before we even left to go to the hospital, I said, you know, I'm ready for the Lord to take me. I can't take this anymore. And I said, he's either going to have to heal me or take me, one or the other. I don't care. I didn't care. But as you can see, I'm here. And the Lord said to me while I was in the hospital, he said, I want you to come back because there's more for you to do. And I said, okay, because I always want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, you know. So there was a time when I was in the hospital there, and it was late at night, and this little angel came in and prayed with me. And she's a member of our church here. Her name is Caitlin Corso. And that girl is in the right profession. She works in the hospital. And that hospital is ripe for people to know the Lord if they don't. So I just want to thank her. I mean, you know, I really needed the prayer at the time, and God knew that. So I also want to say that God, and I've said this before, God gave me the words to say this. Every one of us has a divine destiny, and God sees that destiny completed in his eyes. He sees the whole picture beginning to the end, but we're just getting snapshots of that. And you can't stop in the middle of it and not continue. If you do that, it's your own fault that you don't come to that divine destiny. Don't let the devil stop you and steal that from you. He has such great things for every one of us if we will just trust him. And I know it, you know, I get tired too at times as far as continuing on. I mean, I've been praying for health issues all my life, literally. And I'm not going to give up because, you know what? I don't need to be healed in heaven because we're all going to be healed. I need it now. So we have to continue to strive, you know, and cast down those vain imaginations. And that's all coming from the devil. When he says, you're not worthy. You can't do that. Are you kidding me? You can't do that. Cast that down. Don't listen to that. Start speaking what God says about you. God says you can do all things. You can. He said, as he is, so are we. He's in us. He's given us every provision that we need in life. But a lot of us don't even ask him for it. And we need to ask, believe, and thank him for it. And continually thank him until it manifests. It's not that God forgets. You don't have to keep asking him. You can if you want to. But he doesn't forget the first thing you ever said. So just thank him. He loves a grateful heart. I want to go to, and if they can put it up here, James 1, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Okay. It says, my brethren, which is my church family here, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have its first perfect work, that ye may be perfect, work that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, this is the King James Version on these two verses that I'm going to give you. This perfect means mental, moral, and character, full age. What that means is he's talking about Jesus. He was the full age. We're not all at that level yet. Some of us are pretty close. Some of us are far away. But the more you get into God's word, the more you will change from glory to glory. If you know, I'll say this after. The trials, the Lord showed me that trials come. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to tell you what entire means. On that part, it says that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Entire means whole, all parts, complete, mature, and it basically means walking in the fullness of Jesus. We can all do that. That's why we're here, to grow. These trials, the Lord showed me, we need the resistance. You know, the devil is not a good thing. But God uses what he does, and he changes it for the good. And the Lord showed me that in order to grow spiritually and physically, we need that resistance. And he showed me this, showed me a bike, an exercise bike that was electric, and the pedals were just going. And you just sit on this bike, and you put your legs on there, but you don't have any resistance. So your muscles never grow, and they don't benefit. So we need this resistance. And God loves it when you fight the devil. You know, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And that means you. So don't let him steal your joy. Don't let him steal your family, your marriage, your wealth, your whatever it is. It doesn't matter. You got to fight him on this and cast down whatever he's trying to work in your brain, in your mind. That's where he works. He has no power. We have all the power over the enemy. He has absolutely no power. He uses your thoughts against you. And we have to stop letting him do that. We have to trust God. And that's why he says, account it all joy, because this brings us into that perfection where we have patience and we can deal with these things. It was not easy to go through what I just did. It's not easy for someone else going through trials and tribulations of their, you know, whatever happens in their life. But God will get you through it all. I don't care what it is, he'll get you through it. And I want to say this, if it's your time to go, how glorious is it to be with the Lord in paradise? I mean, I was either or at that time, so. Also, I wanted to say, we're all here to show the glory of God. That's what our lives should reflect. And that light should be shining out from us. You know, when the disciples, when Jesus died, the disciples, I'm sure, got depressed. And they thought all was lost. It's all gone. Everything we thought was going to happen isn't happening. He's gone. I don't know where we're going now. But in 3 days, there was a resurrection. And all changed. I mean, all changed. Not only do we have eternal life, we can commune with the Father. We have the Holy Spirit. Everything changed. Well, I'm here to say this is your resurrection time. Believe it or not, the Lord is going to manifest like you never seen before in 2025. You want signs and wonders? They're coming. They're here. They're in the spirit realm, and they're going to drop down into the physical realm. The Lord said that I should read Isaiah 60, 1 through 5, if you can put that on there. And I'm going to read it, but then I'm going to make you read it out loud. Arise, shine, for the golden global glory light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For the darkness shall come and cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now I'm going to tell you what that glory means. That means the kabod glory. I don't know if anybody, and I'm sure you do, there's probably many here that know what that is. But I looked up the definition. I want the kabod glory, Lord. It means copious glory, honor, glorious abundance, riches, dignity, reputation, reverence. I could fill a whole page of what kabod glory means. It's everything. Everything. And this is coming. You know, the Lord showed me that there's a lot of people, and some, you know, in our church too, because I've talked to them. And me, I have my days. You know, everything that has happened in this world in the past 3-4 years especially, but for decades, there's been such corruption and so many things that have gone on. We've had COVID, whether it be man-made or not. We've had wars, we've had all kinds of things. And people have gotten depressed. And I feel that they've lost their first love, or at least are doubting God. I've had people say, where are the miracles? Where is all this? Why aren't we doing that? Well, I'm here to say it's here. And you're going to see a multitude of that this year, especially. I'm going to read the rest of that, but then I'm going to have you read it, but personalize it. Verse 3 on Isaiah 60 says, and the Gentiles, the heathens, shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. And this is happening now, and God is going to accelerate everything. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they that gather themselves together. They come to thee, to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee. Now I just want to tell you that fear is awe, shaking, or reverence. And the forces mean men, resources, wealth, valor, strength, virtue, might, riches, and armies. So all that is coming. So I wasn't going to do this, but I know the Lord wanted it done. He wants the church family to say out loud Isaiah 60, just 1 and 2 verses. But he wants you to personalize it, where you see thee, say me. All this is coming to you. So let's start. Okay, I'll go back. Arise, shine, for the glory, the golden glory, global glory, light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. And for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and we're made of earth. Gross darkness, the people. But the Lord shall arise upon me, and his glory, that kabod glory, shall be seen upon me. And when you read those other verses, this is all coming to us. God's word is timeless. It applies now, it applies before, yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. He doesn't change. So you have to say these words. I've had this scripture on my mirror since 1998, and I see it every day. And the Lord specifically wanted me to have you guys say that, because he wants you to speak out his word. You know, he created the earth and all the worlds and the stars and everything by speaking out the words. And that's what he wants us to do. Start saying his word. You know, God can do anything. He put his spirit in you. There's nothing you can't do. You know, when we pray for people, and I've heard this mentioned, nothing happens. Well, do you remember when the disciples started out and they prayed for someone and they couldn't cast out the demons? It's because you have to get to a certain level of maturity. You have to grow in the Lord. You have to know the Lord's word and speak it out. God is sovereign. Yeah, he can heal anybody anytime he wants. But you're here to do his will. We're his Jesus in the earth. Not taking anything away from Jesus, but we are to walk like him. We are to do like him, speak like him, and be like him. And that's what God wants us to do. We need to prophesy these words even to ourselves. And then you're going to see the difference. There is such a change coming in 2025. You know, I'm going to say it's going to be kind of hectic in the very beginning, because I can just feel that. But if you persevere and keep saying, things are going to change, things are getting better, God will supply all my needs through his riches in Christ Jesus. Whatever your situation is, there's a scripture for it. Use that scripture and personalize it, and you'll see a difference. So that's all I have for you, but this is all to the glory of God. You know, I wouldn't have made it had God not stepped in. I mean, your blood oxygen should be in the 90s. I mean, I was probably on my way out, let's say. In fact, the doctor told us, Don waited, and it wasn't Don's fault, it was my fault, because I didn't want to sit for 5 hours in the ER. Lo and behold, it was 5 days I had to stay. But, you know, you just have to trust God, you know, and he'll take care of you every single time. It might not be the way you want or you thought, But God doesn't react and manifest the answer to your prayers the same way he did last year. He's changing. He's doing it his way. And if just because we didn't expect it a certain way doesn't mean he's not going to do it. Delay is never defeat with God. Never. You know, he even says that in the Bible, you know, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, you know, if you just knew what was right around the corner, you'd believe, but, you know, we doubt. And then we go, oh, it's never going to happen. Whoa. You know who uses those words against you? The devil. And every time you speak, you're planting that seed of doubt. And every time you mention again, you are watering that seed. And the more you speak the negative and those things in your life, that's when you're going to get the crop that you're speaking. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So we need to start saying God's word. There's nothing he wouldn't like better to hear us say that. And that's all I have. Thank you, Lord.